Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
And I hope he made it because he left at 4 a.m. today to get to Vegas. So isn't he the one that preaches about margins in his life? I'm just saying. All right. So I hope he arrived there because they love having him here and are there. And I love being here with you guys. And thank you. Thank you, you guys. I'm having him stay over there through Thursday. So he's preaching there Wednesday, which means I'm preaching here on Wednesday. So I'll be back on Wednesday. I got a good word that I want to speak to you guys about from the Gospel of John. But anyway, we do want to talk about camp this morning. Summertime is upon us. Not only is Memorial Day weekend a time that we can remember those that paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom, it also is like the unofficial beginning of summer. And a lot of you guys have already made plans what you're going to be doing over the course of these next 3 months. And we want to talk about that this morning because summer camp is a tradition for a lot of people. How many grew up going to some kind of a summer camp as you were little? Just raise your hand. All right, a lot of you guys. Hume Lake is a very special summer camp that we send all of our kids to. We start sending them, I think, as young as third grade to Wagon Train, and then middle school goes to Meadows Ranch, and then high school goes to Ponderosa Camp. And Hume Lake is a very special place up in the Sequoias. We've been sending our kids up there for years and years and years, and it's very special to me. Because when I was 14 years old myself, I went up there for a camp, and that is when I invited Christ to come and live inside of me, and it changed my life forever. So I owe a lot to what that camp is doing, because I am who I am today, really, in large part because of what happened to my life up on that mountain. And so today, as we kind of embark on the unofficial beginning of summer, I really thought what we should do as a church is we should bring camp to church. We should bring the mountain to the valley. And we should talk about this idea of camp. And if you do have a student, a child, I should say, that is in that age bracket, I can't tell you how much camp can do for your kids. You should invest in your kids. You should send them to camp. It's not cheap. It's not free. It requires sacrifice, and that's something that you need to understand that goes into this whole thing. But the church does fundraisers so that you can offset the cost to send your kid to camp, and they have a table set up in the, I believe in the patio or the lobby today. They're doing a 5K fun run so that you can go running and get sponsors to pay for your camp. Also, some of you, maybe you don't have a student that is in that age bracket, but you're like, you know what? God's blessed me with some extra money, and I tithe, I do that, but I want to give an extra offering. Maybe God would put it on your heart to help another family send their kid to camp that can't afford it. And what's cool about Hume Lake, too, is if financially you're going through a rough spill, a lot of oil field workers out of work right now, they do a thing called a campership, where it's a scholarship that you can apply for, and they will cut as much as half off for you to be able to send your child to camp. So don't let the money factor keep you from looking into sending your kids to camp, and maybe even God would put it on your heart to help another child be able to go to camp. But we are going to bring camp to VBF this morning. We're going to call it Camp VBF. All right, that's what we're going to do. And so without further ado, let me pray, and we're going to get into Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, so much for how you are already working in our hearts as we sang those songs together, God, I could just feel some tension leaving the room, being replaced by your peace, God, that passes all understanding. I pray, God, that that would continue to flow in this place. God, that you would continue to minister to the hearts of not only these people that are here with us, but God, everyone that is tuning in online, everyone that is watching the service on our other campuses. We pray, God, that you would touch them as well. Anoint me as your vessel this morning and be with our services in Vegas with Pastor Ron. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Ephesians chapter 5 is where we're at this morning. Speaking of summer, while you're turning pages, Valley Schools has got a summer program. They told me to maybe hit it and see if that some of you are thinking about maybe giving your kids something to do over the summer. They got a great program. Also, they got a great school. There's a lot of controversy right now with public schools and restrooms. I don't know if you've heard all this controversy. I can't think of a better time to think about sending your kid to a private school than right now. All right? I'm just saying. I know it's tough on some of you, but I would... If I were a parent of a small child, I would definitely be stopping by that table and checking out what information they have to just at least start praying about the opportunity to maybe send your kid to what I feel is the best private school in Bakersfield, but I may be a little biased about that. But anyway, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. This is what I'm going to call the pre-summer pep talk, because some of us, let's just admit it, that sometimes... our relationship with God, even though we have one, it can just kind of get a little stale. It needs a little pick-me-up. And I feel like this text this morning is that pick-me-up. It's that pre-summer pep talk that some of us have been needing. So Paul, who's writing this letter to the Ephesian church, he's given this pep talk. He's talking to believers. He's talking to people that have already professed a relationship with Christ. So that's important for us to know. It says, "For you were formerly darkness." Before you became a Christ follower, you were in the dark. He says, but now you are light in the Lord. Therefore, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. That's what, it's a process. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper. Touch your neighbor. Say, wake up. All right? Some of you needed that touch, right? It says, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk or how you live, not as unwise men who don't know God, but as wise people who know God, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Now, this is so true for our day and age. The days are evil. And all you have to do is watch the news and kind of look at that and see for yourself. But I love this text because I believe that we have the best intentions of following God with our lives, but we just get carried away by different things. You know, I believe all of us to a certain degree have attention deficit disorder. I think all of us probably would admit that we all have that problem. Like for instance, every time I get on a phone call and, you know, those computers, like, you know, press one for this, da-da-da-da-da, press two, blah, blah, blah. Am I the only one by the time it's like two, I'm like, oh, did I miss it? Like, I zone out and I have to, like, listen to the whole menu again. I do that. I think all of us have a case of ADD to a certain degree. And what Paul is saying here, it's so easy to, like, confess or profess to be a follower of Jesus, to know intuitively that he's living in you, but the way you're living, it's like you're living as if he's not living in you. Let me give you another analogy. I have to make long drives a lot of times back and forth to Vegas. And have you ever set out to go on a long journey and you're driving, and then maybe, you know, you're driving for hours upon hours, and you're just driving and you come, like you come to, it's like you've been awake, but you kind of come to and you don't even remember the last 10 miles that you've been driving. Am I the only one that does that? It's like, where was I the last 10 miles? Like, was I asleep? I mean, I'm driving a car at 70 miles an hour, maybe 80. I'm driving a car and I don't even remember. What is wrong with me? I mean, this is a dangerous weapon I'm driving here. I'm driving with other people. And it really came to my attention a few summers ago. We were down in San Diego on vacation. And I was with my family and we were downtown, I think San Diego. I was at a stoplight. And have you ever been like tired when just driving, you're tired, just kind of you get fatigued after you've been driving a lot? And I decided at the red light, I was just gonna close my eyes for a second. And so I closed my eyes and I don't know if I started snoring or what, but my wife's, I just remember hear Tara saying, "Are you asleep right now?" I fell asleep at the intersection. She's like, "You are freaking me out. You drive to Vegas and drive back to Bakersfield and you fall asleep while you're driving. Who does that?" I go, "Well, I do, I guess." So now when I go to Vegas or come to Bakersfield, she's like, "Here's 5 Red Bulls, all right? Drink all these and then, you know, I will feel better when you get there." But I think that's how we're living our lives a lot of times in our relationship with God. We have the best intentions. We're like moving. We're like, "Yeah, I have a relationship with God." And maybe a week goes by, a month goes by, and it's like, "Man, I haven't really thought about God a lot." Matter of fact, the decisions I'm making in my life, it's as if I don't even believe in God. How could I profess to be a Christian, but yet make the decisions that I've been making in my life this last week or this last month or even possibly this last year? Folks, it happens to the best of us. That's not to excuse it, but that's to kind of wake us up to the reality that every once in a while we need a church service like this to wake us up, to kind of get us back into the mode that we need to be in, moving forward to what God has in store for our futures. And so we're going to take a note from the playbook of camp, and we're going to do a camp service, a whole camp experience in one service this morning. Because every camp, especially every Christian camp, I should say, has some elements in it. When I was a youth pastor for years, when we do a camp, there's certain specific things we're hoping that we accomplish with the students. First of all, we're hoping that when a student comes to camp, that we're going to have the ability to have them review their life. Then we're hoping also, a part of that camp experience, we're going to refresh their spirit. And then thirdly, we're going to reignite their purpose. Because that's really what camp is all about. So we're bringing the mountain to the valley, and we're going to have a camp experience. And so let's look at these three principles real quickly for your life. Let's look at reviewing your life. That's the first thing. The first thing that we need to identify is where we're at right now. And so what I want you to play a game with me, okay? Get something to write on. Get something out to make a little note. If you don't have anything to write on, if you have a pen, just use your hand, okay? The original Palm Pilot, right? So you can write on your hand a number. We're going to give ourselves a number. We're going to give ourselves a grade on how we feel like we're doing when it comes to a relationship with God. Now I'm going to give you a scale of 0 to 10. 10 being like you feel so connected to God. You feel like miracles are happening in your life. You feel like your devotion is great. You feel like, man, God is doing some phenomenal things. You can see the hand of God working in all kinds of ways in your life. I would give like that's a 10. Like heaven is coming through you in all capacities. That's a 10. But then some of you, you know, you're at like a 0. That you don't have a relationship with God. You're not connected to God. I mean, you're here because your spouse says, "If you don't come to church with me, I'm divorcing you." And you're like, "Okay, I'll come. But I do not have a relationship with God. I don't know what this thing is, church." You know, so maybe you're feeling very disconnected and no connection to your creator, then you're probably a 0. So give yourself a number between 0 and 10 on how you feel like you're doing with your relationship with God. Now, we're going to have a pre-number, we're going to have a post-number, because I want to give you what I feel are some real good measurable indicators on how you're doing with your relationship with God. I believe there are indicators that are happening within our life right now that will help us evaluate ourselves. Because the Apostle Paul, he said this. This is him, not me. He said, it's important to do this, to kind of grade ourselves, to look at ourselves and how we're doing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, examine yourselves to see whether you are still in the Christian faith. Test yourselves. Don't you recognize that you are people in whom Jesus Christ lives? Could it be that you're failing the test? So I think it's good. You know, a lot of times we'll take Holy Communion in church. And you know what? Holy Communion is an opportunity to examine ourselves in how we're doing as far as looking like Jesus in our life. Because, see, when we examine our faith, a lot of times, unfortunately, we compare ourselves to another person. And this is dangerous because you will always find somebody that is doing more horrible than you are. That their faith is like really messed up more than yours is. So you're like, hey, at least I'm doing better than Billy Bob over here, man. He's not doing very good, man. So at least I got it on him, you know. So I'm doing all right. No, you are only to compare yourself with one, and that is Jesus Christ. That's how you examine yourself. That's the whole idea of communion. Like, man, Jesus, how am I doing in comparison with you and the life that you lived? And so you're supposed to examine your hearts as you're taking the elements of communion. But as far as this test is concerned, I believe we can really evaluate in three areas. Number one, our attitudes. Our attitudes. This is a reflection of the thoughts that we allow to swim around in our mind that we dwell on and whatnot. See, a lot of you, you're thinking you're doing really well. Hey, I'm doing all right. But your attitude it stinks. You know it does. I mean, maybe the person sitting next to you doesn't know it. But you've had a bad attitude throughout the week. I mean, with bad drivers in front of you, to horrible coworkers that you've been mingling with, a bad boss, or maybe a neighbor that just you can't stand. Perhaps even your own spouse. Like some of you, your attitude, you know, you may have not killed somebody, but in your mind, you've killed 20 people this week. They have no idea, but you have killed them a couple times. That's been your attitude. And, you know, what's crazy is an attitude is that internal mechanism that a lot of people don't really see, but God sees it. Even Jesus made comments and said, hey, like, what's happening in your heart, really, it's sinful, even if you don't really commit it, even if you don't really put it into action, even if you're thinking lustfully, it's as if you've committed adultery. So think about that. A lot of us, you know, we would never think about committing adultery with our spouses, but yet in our minds, whether it's pornography or whether it's just people that we've, you know, been having sex with in our minds, I mean, Jesus is saying, hey, we're just as guilty. Our attitudes have been unfaithful to our spouses. And so our attitudes, where our thoughts have been and what's been, how we've been processing things inside internally, that's a measurable indicator for how you're doing in your relationship with God. I believe you really see it when you go through trials. It really manifests itself when things aren't going well for you, how your attitude is holding up under that pressure of a trial. I've read it before, and I think it's such a good quote, but I believe Christianity is more shown in our reactions than it's shown in our actions. How we're reacting to the things that are coming against our life. What's been your attitude when things haven't went your way versus, you know, how things are when things do go your way. It's like we can become different people when we don't get treated the way we think we should be treated, or maybe things don't work out the way we think they should work out. What's been your attitude when you have had adversity handed to you? See, when you're doing really well, when you're moving towards a 10 in your relationship with God, you're handling this stuff. And you're processing it and saying, you know what? There's going to be a Romans 8:28 out of this. I know I don't see it now, but God is going to turn this thing around and he's going to bring good out of it. I don't see it now, but my hope is in Jesus and he's going to turn this thing around for me. It may be tomorrow, it may be next month, but I know that's my future. Versus if you're more towards zero, it's like you are Eeyore to the max.
Oh boy. Oh man, just pull the drapes down. Just put a blanket over my head. My life is over.
You know, I think, you know, your attitude, is your attitude more like Eeyore or Tigger? Come on, can I give you a Winnie the Pooh analogy? Are you more like an Eeyore, or are you more like Tigger? Woo-hoo, yeah! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Like, slow down, Tigger. You know any Tiggers in your life? You are one. That's good. Tiggers are infectious. Find a Tigger and start hanging around them, and you may find your attitude adjust towards the people that are around you, because that's a habit. Attitudes are contagious, aren't they? Come on, can I hear an amen? Touch your neighbor and say, attitudes are contagious. I need a Tigger in my life. I think the biggest Tigger at our church is Darren Tripp, man. You need to hang around Darren. Give a shout out to that guy, man. Love that guy. So your attitude is a reflection of how you're doing. You want to know another indicator is your spiritual disciplines. We all get disciplines, right? Disciplines are those things that, you know we need to do in order to get a result that we want. For instance, some of you, you're like, hey, it's summertime. The shorts are coming back on. You know, I can't hide my body behind big jackets anymore. It's time that I start eating better, and it's time that I start going back to the gym. And so you know that in order to get a result, there's got to be some disciplines. You know, when the dessert menu comes at the restaurant after you've done, having your meal, and they're saying, hey, you want, you know, this chocolate cake and, you know, whatever. It's like, if you're trying to diet, you don't go to Johnny Garlic's, because that little pie, mud pie thing, the Snickers thing that I ate the other day, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm just going to go eat that for dinner. But it's like, you know that you can't have certain things if you want to have a body that, you know, you're okay with. And you're going to have to exercise. You're going to have to go walking or running and hit the gym and all that. Well, our spirits operate in the same principles, that we can't expect to these people that are walking with God and fulfilling the destiny that he has for our life without having these disciplines for our life to propel us towards that. And that's why we talk a lot at church about devotions and having a diet of worship music and coming to church and being involved in a small group and getting involved in ministry and tithing and giving. And all of these things, what they're doing is they're propelling us towards the destiny that God wants for our life. It's moving us closer to God and away from who we used to be. So it's not a matter of a kind of a legalistic thing like, hey, to be a Christian, you got to read your Bible. You got to pray an hour a day. You have to tithe your offering. You have to, you know, get involved in a ministry. No. See, we understand here at VBF that those things, it's not a must to do those things. But if we want ultimately to become who God wants us to be, those things need to be in our life so that we can be who God has called us to be. In other words, if your spiritual disciplines are really not there, I mean, maybe this is the first church service you've been to in the last year, maybe the last month. You're not reading your Bible. You're not praying very often. Maybe, you know, you used to listen to worship music on the radio, and now you're just listening to whatever. You're not giving your offerings, you're not tithing, you're not doing any of that. It's not to say you're a bad Christian, but I would probably be safe in saying that you're not a healthy Christian. You're not a healthy one. You're not moving your life towards God by not doing all those things. So I think an indicator is how you're doing on those spiritual disciplines. Are you waking up early and saying, I'm going to have my time with God and get my cup of coffee, read Jesus Calling? I'm gonna listen to some Hillsong United worship, some Elevation worship, and I'm just gonna stay in the presence of the Lord. I'm gonna listen to a podcast on the way to work and get some more word as I'm driving to work, that 10 to 15 minutes. You come home, I'm gonna come home, we're gonna pray with the family, we're gonna go to church, we're gonna get in a small group, we're gonna serve in a ministry, we're gonna do adopt-a-block. I mean, these things are gonna propel you forward. But if you're not doing these things, it's an indicator kind of where you're at. Thirdly, I believe that our relationships can be a major indicator how we're doing. Our relationships. Now, we know that relational conflict is a part of life. You put two sinners together in a relationship, there are going to be problems. You're going to have problems. Why? Because you're a sinner and they're a sinner, and together there's going to be sin. There's going to be problems that are going to flare up. They're going to say something to you that's going to hurt your feelings. They're going to do something to you that's going to hurt your feelings. You're going to say something to them that's going to hurt their feelings. You're going to do something to them that's going to hurt your feelings. It's inevitable. Whether it's your spouse, it's your kids, it's your parents, it's a neighbor, it's a coworker, it's a fellow student, it's a church member, we're going to have problems. But how you're navigating those relationships within the problems is the indicator. For instance, when somebody hurts you, as a strong believer, as somebody that's really moving towards a 10, you know that when somebody hurts you, the first thing to do is to forgive them. Or as a person that's heading towards 10, every once in a while your mouth gets you in trouble. Has that ever happened to anybody, or is it just me? You can be the most spiritual person, but the worst stuff can still come out of your mouth. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, where did that come from? It's like the devil just like, boom, got in your mouth. Just like, what? It's like, I want to rebuke myself right now. I don't even know how that happened. Like, well, I was just like praising the Lord. I don't know. But when you're moving towards a 10, you recognize that and say, oh man, hey, I apologize. I shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have done that. But see, a person that's not real healthy, they're not one to give out forgiveness real easily. Matter of fact, they're over here going, You know what? That was wrong, man. I'm going to make you suffer. Why you do that to me like that? You know what? Matter of fact, I'm not talking to you ever again. I don't care if you're calling me. I'm not. No. Matter of fact, talk to the back, man. I'm not. No, I'm done with you. You're out of my life. Or hey, you know what? I'm just not talking to you. I'm going to get even with you. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. You know what I'm talking about? Or if on the other side, you're there and you've known you've blown it, and that if you're moving towards that zero, that pride sets in, you know you've blown it. But you're like, I'm not letting them know that I know I blew it. I'm going to play this off like I'm right, even though I know I'm wrong. I don't want to admit that I'm wrong. So I'm going to double down and make them feel as though they're wrong, even though I know I'm wrong. And I'm going to make them feel like I'm right. And so we work hard because why? Because pride. Pride sets in. We're like, I'm not telling them I'm sorry that I was wrong. They may take advantage of me. I grew up watching Happy Days. The Fonzie. Remember that show? One of the things about the Fonz, he could never say he was wrong. He would get in a situation and say, I'm sorry. You know, one of the most spiritual things you can do today is call somebody, text somebody, meet with somebody and say, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Can you touch a neighbor right now? Say, sometimes I get it wrong. Just touch a couple people. Say, sometimes I get it wrong. And I'm sorry. Let me siphon the hose for you right now. Pride will paralyze you from your destiny with God. Humility is the road to a spiritual prosperity for your life in God. You got to be humble. But all that's to say, You're going to have relational problems, but how are you handling those problems? And Paul says this. He says, as much as it's up to you, be at peace with all men. That means that sometimes it's not possible. Because to have reconciliation or relationship, you have to have two things. You have to have forgiveness and repentance. You have to have somebody saying, hey, I'm willing to forgive you. And somebody on the other side saying, hey, I confess what I did was wrong. And we know that there are some parties in our life that aren't at that place yet. But that's okay. Do your part to bring that peace in the relationship. That's all that we're talking about. Again, but how you're handling your relationships is an indicator of where you're at. Review your life. Now that we just did that, can you give yourself the accurate number of where you're at spiritually with God? Is it the same number? Maybe it is. But in my experience, we tend to give ourselves a higher number than we're really at. And now that we just did this little measuring device, you're like, I thought I was at an 8. Maybe I'm more like at a 4. If you really want to know the truth, if you're married, just talk to your spouse. He'll give you an accurate number. All right? Secondly, let's move from reviewing your life to refreshing your spirit, because some of you, you need to be refreshed. Some of you, you've been getting beat up this week. The devil's been after you. He's been putting you through the ringer. He's been putting you in circumstances. It seems like you're just like, wow, I just feel so beat up. I'm on life support right now, Pastor. Well, buckle up, because we're going to refresh your spirit right now. Let me tell you something. I was ministering to a gal at a Starbucks a couple weeks ago coming out of a Bible study. And she was trying to sell me necklaces outside the Starbucks, trying to make money. She was saying to pay for another night at this motel that was right next to the Starbucks. And I'm like, well, I want to talk more about this, because I said, that doesn't seem God's will for your life to be living at a motel. So what's your story? And she said she had been involved in a domestic violence thing when she was trying to get away with from a guy, and she was at this hotel with another guy and with these kids, and it just wasn't. You ever have somebody confront you or like that, and they're telling you a story, and it's just, you know, they're not being very truthful with you? So I said, I'm a pastor at a church, and I want to talk to you. She said, my grandpa's a pastor. So where's grandpa in all this? Well, he's out of town. And so she told me the story. I said, hey, I don't think you're being fully honest with me here. And she had her eye covered up with her hair, and she kept brushing her hair over her eye. You know, and the young people call it the emo look, you know, where you wear your hair over your eye. You know, it's like that emo thing. And I know she wasn't an emo kind of person. So she was a young girl. And I said, sweetie, can you show me what's behind that hair? Because I said, I feel like you're hiding something from me. And she pulled her hair back, and she had the biggest black eye I've ever seen on any human being. It was bad. I watch MMA, don't judge me. I watch MMA, and I'm telling you that it was one of the worst black eyes I've ever seen. And my heart just went out for this little girl. And I prayed with her. I wanted to, you know, get her into a battered women's shelter. And I tried, and she didn't want it. She resisted. She refused to do that. But I at least prayed with her, and I encouraged her to do these steps to get out of the situation. But I fell for her going, man, no one deserves to be beat up like this, let alone a girl by a guy. Men, I don't care what these women are putting you through. Never should it be ever right for you to hit or lay hands on a woman. Never. Ever, ever, ever. And maybe I'm talking to some guys here, and you got a propensity to do that, to get violent. Let me tell you, that's rooted in the demonic, number one. And you probably need some deliverance in your life. A spirit of violence is over you. You need that deliverance. Maybe you get prayed for before you leave. But if that doesn't work, you know, the only other thing I have is to get Pastor Tom Touchstone over at CSUB to have a private meeting with you, and he will get that out of you. I'm telling you. Have you seen the arms on that guy? Yeah? He'll lay hands on you and then see how you like it, and maybe that will prevent you from doing that again to any woman. You guys at Cal State know what I'm talking about. You know, look at Pastor Tom, man. He's crazy. Mr. California, like 30 years ago, and he still looks like Mr. California, all right? But let's just be honest. Sometimes sin gets the best of us, and when we fall into a sin and we just feel unworthy, we feel inadequate, we feel like, man, you know what? I did it. Like I did it one too many times. You know, I know for sure God is done with me. I know for sure God is going to pass me by. He's going to kick me out. He's just going to relinquish this ministry from me. I've been disqualified. That's not God telling you that. That's the devil telling you that. The devil, see, his trick is to get you to fall into sin and then kick you once you're down. God's dealing with you is that he knows you're going to fall, but he lands his hand and he picks you up, he dusts you off, and he says, okay, where were we? Where were we? Where were we? Let's go. I read this Jesus calling the other day. I just loved it. And I think this is for somebody here that's listening. This is from a week ago. It said, when your sins weigh heavily upon you, come to me. This is Jesus speaking in the first person. Confess your wrongdoing, which I know all about before you say a word. Stay in the light of my presence, receiving forgiveness, cleansing, and healing. Remember that I have clothed you in my righteousness, so nothing can separate you from me. Whenever you stumble or fail, I am there to help you up. Man's tendency is to hide from his sin, seeking refuge in the darkness. There he indulges in self-pity, denial, and self-righteousness, blaming, and hatred. But I am the light of the world, and my illumination decimates the darkness. Come close to me and let my light envelop you, driving out darkness and permeating you with peace. See, here's the problem. When we fall into sin, and we all do, our natural tendency is to try to hide from God. Have you noticed that about yourself? That shame kicks in. That conviction kicks in. And we do the same thing Adam and Eve did from the very beginning. They blew it. They did something they shouldn't have. And they tried to hide from God. And God goes in the garden and says, where are you? And he's doing that to some of you today. He's looking for you because instead of running to God after you've sinned, you've tried to hide from God after you've sinned. And he's looking for you going, where are you? And he's not looking at you to strike you with a lightning bolt. He's looking for you so he can pick you back up, dust you off, and pat you on the butt and say, there's work still to be done. Now go get it done. Stop hiding from God. Embrace him. Instead of hiding from God, run to God. And that cleansing and that forgiveness and that healing is going to come and it's going to drive you to where you need to be. That's how you get your spirit refreshed, is you change directions. Stop hiding from God and start running to God. Acts 3, verse 19 and 20. It says, so change the way, or turn around or repent the way you think and act, and turn to God and have your sins removed. That's all God wants to do. He wants you to turn towards him so he can take that condemnation off of you. He wants to take that shame off of you. That's why he died for you, to take that shame and condemnation off of you. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And it says, then times will come when the Lord will do what? He will refresh you. He removes the sin so that refreshment may come. And it says, he will send you Jesus, whom he has appointed to be the Christ. Revelation 2, verse 4 and 5, he's talking to the church of Ephesus, very similar to what we read in chapter 5. It says, but I have this against you, Ephesus. You have left the love you had in the beginning. They were doing all these phenomenal things for God. So remember where you were before you fell and change your hearts and do what you did at first. Don't you see? That's grace right there. God is saying, hey, just remember what you were doing before you fell. Before you gave into this, what were you doing? When you were doing really well with God, when you saw the hand of God moving and changing your life, Jesus saying, just do that. Go back and do those things, those habits, those good habits that you were doing. When you were seeing God change you, when you saw God using you, do those things that you were doing before. And most of the time, it's so simple, it's so basic. We have a formula here. We call it the ABCs of VBF. When you're doing these ABCs, you're going to see Christ moving in your life. And some of you, all Christ is telling you, want to be refreshed? Go back and do the things you were doing before. A plus B plus C equals D. And let me break that down for you. If you attend weekly service, don't miss church. But I've blown it and I feel guilty coming to church. No, run to God by getting your butt in church. That's what you need. That's where you need to be. You don't need to be away from church. You need to be in church. And this is belong to a life group or a small group. Circle up. Get honest and authentic with other believers. Tell them where you're at so they can hold you accountable and they can pray for you. And then see, commit to serving in a ministry. When you start helping others, you will help yourself. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And what does that do? It leads to you being devoted to Christ. Just do the ABCs. And you will propel yourself away from sin. And you will propel yourself towards God. Simple enough, right? Thirdly, is you reignite your purpose. That's what we're hoping to do. When you go to camp, bringing the mountain to the valley here is some of you, so we've reviewed your life, we've refreshed your spirit. God said, dust it off, get back up. Now we need to reignite your purpose. You're not on planet Earth by accident. I don't care what your mama said. I don't care what your daddy said. You are not an accident. You are a masterpiece created by God himself. He gave you your DNA. There's no one like you. You are a special purpose sent from heaven to this earth to make a difference. You're a difference maker. Jesus said, as the disciples said, teach us how to pray. He said, it's real simple. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know God's mission and purpose for you is to let you be a conduit to bring heaven down to earth? He's filled you up not to get you to heaven. He's filled you up to get heaven to earth through you. This earth desperately needs some more heaven, right? How many know a space in this world that needs a little bit more heaven? Needs a little bit more heaven. What's heaven? Love, healing, peace, patience, forgiveness, all of these things that heaven just oozes. God wants to ooze through your life onto other people. The devil is good at what he does. And we can't see the purpose because we're so busy looking behind us, aren't we? We're so busy checking out where we've been, we don't see where we're going. And Paul says in Philippians, he says, forget what lies behind and reach forward to what God has lying ahead for you. Now this, I don't tell you to try this, but can you imagine, just imagine that, we dismiss here in a few minutes, and you drive all the way to your house looking behind you as you're driving forward. All right, imagine that. You're like, all right, let's get on the 58 freeway. Okay, I'm gonna drive and I'm gonna look behind me and I'm gonna try to navigate where I'm going by looking behind me. I mean, you wouldn't even make it out of the parking lot. You would crash into 20 cars. But yet, most of us, I shouldn't say most, there's some in this room, that's how you're living your life. You got to forget what lies behind because what's in front of you is way more important than what's behind you. Your best days are ahead of you, not behind you. Don't let the devil tell you any different. He wants to get you to forget what's ahead of you because what's ahead of you is far better than what's ever been behind you. That's our God. And that's what he wants to remind us of this morning. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope is that confident expectation of better things to come. You have better things to come for your life as a believer and follower of Jesus. Don't let the devil ever tell you differently. And as we look forward to what purpose God has for our life, it could be so simple. It could be so simple. I think we're making it so difficult. God, what is your will for my life? He just says, serve me right where you're at. Just be obedient to what I'm telling you to do today. And then when you do enough of those things, you're going to be fulfilling the will that I have for your life. It could be as simple as posting a video on Facebook. Have you heard of the Chewbacca lady? Her name is Candace Payne. She is a worship leader at her church. She leads worship at her church. She posted a video on Facebook. She posted it in the morning. She bought a Chewbacca mask at a toy store. She put it on. And she said, I just want to tell you guys that I've been looking forward to this. And the Chewbacca was like, ah. She just started laughing and just having so much fun. People by the millions have watched this video because it's doing something to their spirit when they're watching her joy. And what she's trying to communicate now that she's got an audience, she's telling people now that she's got this platform, is my joy comes from Jesus living in me. The joy that you guys are infected by is Jesus. She is changing the atmosphere of our nation by the joy that has been given to her by our God. So simple, right? It's not that difficult to fulfill the purpose that God has for your life. It could be as simple as helping somebody that God points out to your life. This last week was Police Appreciation Week, and I just bought some gift cards to Starbucks, and I started handing them out to police officers. And this one police officer in Vegas, I saw his bike out there, and I went into the place where he was eating lunch, and I said, hey, excuse me, officer, and I could just see this look, like, what's your intentions? A year ago, two police officers in Vegas were having lunch at a Cece's Pizza restaurant. Some crazy people went in and shot them while they were having lunch. Shot them dead, two police officers. So imagine I'm walking up to this police, hey, excuse me. He's studying me. He's looking me up and down, like, what's your intentions? And I said, hey, it was Police Appreciation Week. I bought some gift cards. I have two more left. I want to bless you with these gift cards and just tell you thank you for your service and protecting our community. We just really appreciate you. And I gave it to him, and his face totally changed, and he started smiling and laughing, going, hey, man, that's great. Thank you so much. And I'm going to go back and share this with one of my other officers. Man, that means the world to me. And I go, all right, God bless you. I'm a pastor, and I'm encouraging other people to do this. And he goes, man, that is such a great idea. Thank you so much for appreciating what we do. And I just left. And guess what happened at that little fast food restaurant? A little bit of heaven got deposited down on this earth because of gratitude. What ways can God use you to bring heaven down to earth? He's got a purpose for you. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to do it. Do it, however simple or easy or little it may seem. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for...
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our love.